Hopefully, even if you weren't here last week, I said that I want to continue on a theme that to me is so important. And that is this theme of being a follower. That most of the studies that we do, most of the encouragement that we do towards younger people is we say to be a leader, to lead something. And I don't want to take away from that. I think that leadership is important, and it is important to know how things run and get done. But there is something that is essential for us who are in the faith, and that is we are all co-equals. There's only one leader. That's right. I gave the illustration of a violinist, a fiddler on last week. Jesus is first fiddle. And the rest of us, we all play second fiddle. I don't care how much people may say you sound good or you can do this or you can preach good. Those things are secondary to Jesus. And Jesus is working. So because Jesus is working, we as followers must do our job well. We must do it good. We must know our role, and we must play our role. So this morning, I want to talk about learning to be a follower of Jesus. Learning to be a follower of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at John, first chapter, 35 through 45. Last time we looked at Mary's husband, Joseph. And I think all of us came away with the understanding that he was a good second fiddle. I mean, he was the man of the house. He was the daddy. But he did not try to upstage Jesus. And he didn't try to upstage Mary in terms of what God did with her, in terms of the miraculous birth of this child. So we want to look at some practical things today on learning to be a follower of Jesus. In verses 43 through 44, it says, "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also write.'" In other words, everything that the Old Testament said was forthcoming in terms of this God in the flesh, he's the one. He's Emmanuel, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. This day, he calls Philip. But on the day prior, he calls Andrew, and then he's going to call Peter. When we look at the Bible, Peter is mentioned by name 156 times. That's a lot of times. Andrew is mentioned 12 times. And most of those times are in a listing of the disciples. He doesn't have the big name. He doesn't have the big part. But he knows how to be a follower. He knows what a follower is supposed to do. And he does it well. Four principles come out of our text this morning. The first one is followers of Jesus are known for following Jesus. Followers of Jesus are known. That's the key word right there. They're known. People know you for following Jesus. That's a good question to ask yourself personally, because we can say everything we want to say, but does anybody know who you're following? Does anybody know? We see you go into a building, but is there anything about you that says, I am a follower of Jesus the Christ? John 35:1-37 says, now this is the day before. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. We know who one of those is. It's Andrew. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, what did they do? They followed Jesus. You need to understand something. John is the only one that does not give a full description of Jesus' baptism, as we see it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But God spoke to John. This is John the Baptist, and told him, the one that you see the dove come and light on, that's the one. That's the one. It's as clear as that. Don't look for any other sign that when you do your baptisms, when you see the dove come and light on this individual, that's the one who is the Messiah. And you tell people to follow him. There's a conflict here. These were John's disciples, where it says again, and two of his disciples. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. In other words, they weren't Jesus' disciples yet. They didn't start following Jesus the day before. They knew nothing of Jesus. But God reveals to John the Baptist that this is my son. This is the Messiah. And from now on, when you preach repentance, you make sure you tell everybody, especially those who are following you, he's the one. You know the truth of the matter? Every one of us in here was following something. Every one of us in here had a value that was not Jesus Christ. Nobody is born following Jesus. Nobody comes into this world following Jesus. Somebody has to say to you, there is the Lamb of God. There is the one who takes away the sins of the people. There is the one who will make everything right. I've never had a following. At least, I don't think I have. But I know of people who've had a following. Sometimes people follow you because you're pretty. I know a lot of people used to follow my wife because she's pretty. Nobody ever told me, you're so handsome, I'm going to follow you. No, I never got that. But Cheryl has had some young women to wear their hair like she wore hers and want to dress like she dressed because she was beautiful. I'm not saying she's the only beautiful person in the world. I'm just simply saying that sometimes people follow beauty. Sometimes people follow musical people. People who have a great talent of singing and can run the octaves and can hit notes that sound melodic like the angels, and people follow them. We have any Beyonce followers in here? Somebody say, leave Beyonce alone now. All that I'm saying is, at some point, If I am going to be a follower of Jesus, I have to quit following everything else. It doesn't matter if it's my politics. It doesn't matter if it's my race. It doesn't matter if it's my gender. It doesn't matter if it's my finances. It doesn't matter if it's my career. I have decided to follow Jesus. It is a decision that I make. It is a decision that I'm no longer following this. I'm no longer following that. It is not to say that those things are not important, but there is nothing that is more important than Jesus. Amen. You clap on that one. You know, when you read this, you say, well, that was one day. No, Andrew and 11 other fellas followed him for 3 years. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? They made a decision that we'll give up everything else. We'll stop doing what we're doing. We'll go where you say go. We'll do what you say do. And John had no problem. Not a conflict, because John knew he wasn't the one, but Jesus was the one to follow. I tell you today, if Christians have a dilemma, it is this right here. We follow some of everything. We are worse than the world, I believe, in some instances. And people don't know if we love our stuff, our money, our houses, our land, our children, more than we love Jesus. I've said to you many times, I thank God for my wife for 53 years, but that's not my God. Y'all hear me? And I'm not her God, and I can't replace God for her. I will let her down. I would be the worst God that she could ever experience. I'm like John. No, there is the Lamb of God. I appreciate that you would lift me up. I appreciate at this age when you say he's fine and he's mine. I still like to hear that. But I don't want to hear you say I'm your God, because I'm not worthy of you following. And one day I will die and leave here, and somebody will ask you, do you think you can go on? And I want you to stand up and say, yes, I can go on because of who I am freely following. And that's Jesus Christ. What is it about Jesus that ought to be clear in our behavior that we're following Jesus? It was said today in the Bible study, I think Deacon Art, I think you said it, that they will know us by all of the Bible verses that we know. Was that it? No. They'll know us because we show up to church earlier than everybody else. Was that it? No, I'm just playing with you. He said they'll know us by our love. You see, this was the essential thing about Jesus and his followers, that if you really are a follower of Jesus, at some point, you're going to start loving everybody. At some point. You're not going to have any kind of discrimination, any kind of prejudice against anybody. Why? Because Jesus loved everybody. At some point, they're going to know you as a lover. I hope that that's about me. How many of you would hope somebody would say that about you? You know, he's a Christian. How do you know? Because she loves, he loves. You can knock them down. You can say all kind of things about them. But they just keep on loving. You see, followers of Jesus are known. You want me to shut up? They're known by their love. You can't make them stop loving. You can't make them stop telling the truth about how God loves. Every song, oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. A follower of Jesus is known by their love. You can talk all you want to. You can say, I go to church every Sunday. But if they don't know anything about your ability to love beyond people who look like you, people who come from your family, they won't say very much about you as a follower of Jesus. Number two, followers of Jesus spend daily time with Jesus. Not only are they known, but these folk, you know, if we get somebody to come into a building and study God's word once a week, that's a lot for some people. But these people, every day, how many of you spouses out there would say, you know what, I just love my husband, I just love my wife. I see them once a year. People will probably say, you know what? Are you really serious? No. Because if you're really following Jesus, you may do that with some other things. But if you're following Jesus, you're going to spend some time with Jesus. Every day. John 31, 38, 39 says, turning around, Jesus saw them doing what? Following. And he asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? In other words, we want to get your address. We haven't had enough of what we had today with you. We want some more. We want to come to your house. And don't worry, we're going to bring lunch. We're going to find some fish or something, you know. Because I hear you can multiply stuff like crazy. Come, he replied, and you will see. And so they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Now, I just got through saying to you that Andrew and this other disciple, as well as the other disciples, they spent 3 years about with Jesus. 3 years. Why is it important? What would you say to people about your being with Jesus every day is important? It's a rhetorical question. I'm not looking for you to jump up and give a testimony right now today. But you see, back then, Andrew and this other disciple, they were able to get with Jesus personally. They were able to get with him in the flesh. We can't do that because Jesus is not in the flesh now today. He's got transformed body. But what we can do is we can read the Bible. Do you believe that the Bible is God's word? Do you believe that the Bible gives testimony about Jesus? As a matter of fact, the Bible says that, doesn't it? In John 5, it says that the words of God, the Bible, they give testimony about me. They are talking about me. This one who you're talking about searching for and wanting to know, they're talking about me. In Acts 17, it said that the Bereans would examine the Bible, that they would hear the preaching and the teaching, and they would go back and study more. Why is that? Because they wanted to know more. This is the only thing that has a living word and a written word. And they both are significant for life. Some of you young people in here, I asked a group of the young people on last week. It was quite amazing to me. There was a number of young people here. And I asked them, and they were all ball players, what do you want to do if you don't make the basketball team? And one young man said, I want to be a physicist. Physicist? Nobody in my culture would have ever said that. A physicist, that was too heavy. And so another one said, I want to be a cardiologist. I said, a heart surgeon? Heart surgeon? Where are these people getting all of this stuff from? And then Maria was standing with the young boys, and she said, I'm going to be a psychologist. And I said to myself, these young people are going to study some things that are very significant for the world. And they can study sports and also study those things. But understand that as important as the study of psychology is, as important as the study of the heart is, as important as the study of physics is, you will run out of stuff to study in those subjects. In other words, every book has a limit to it. Every discipline has a limit to it. But when you talk about learning about life, the Word of God has no limit. Why is that? Because it is the only book. Not your science books, not your finance books, not your psychology books, but the Bible is the only book where it says that I came that you might have life and life to the fullest. So if you want to learn about life, if you want to read something that you can't ever get to the bottom of, but it keeps on replenishing you, the Bible is the word of life. Am I wrong or right? Can I get a witness? Jesus was asked in John, he was getting ready to go away, and he said to the disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I go, you'll be able to follow me. And one of the disciples, I believe it was Philip, don't quote me on that one, but he says, where are you going? Where are you going? He says, I'm going to my father's house. And he says, well, where is your father's house? And he points to himself. These are his exact words. I and the Father were the same thing. I and the Father. A one. I am the way, the truth, and the what? And the life. If you want to learn about life, then listen to me. If you want to learn about life to the fullest, then read my words. If you want to learn about life, and I got a feeling there's some folk who could give a testimony right on this part right here. I'm one. I messed up and I messed up and I messed up and I messed up and I messed up until I read the words of life. And it said there are certain things that God wants done in a certain way. We call it holiness. And when you do it that way, life is better. Life is better. When Jesus says, you will have life to the fullest, he's not kidding. He's saying that life will be the best that it can be. Am I wrong or right? A follower of Jesus spends time with Jesus. Spends time with the Word of God. Because I want my life to be the best that it can be. Am I wrong or right? That's why we come to service, I believe, on a Sunday morning. I mean, we want to hear a preacher who's going to preach about their life. Am I wrong or right? No, we don't want to hear about a preacher preaching about his life. We want to hear a preacher preaching about Jesus' life. You know, one of the worst things that I hear people saying, especially young people, can you just accept me for who I am? Can you just accept me for what I am? Can you just accept me for who I am? And I look at you and I say to you, let me tell you what, who you are is nothing without God. Who you are is nothing without Jesus. You have not begun to even live life until you have experienced Jesus inside of you. Can I get a witness? Why is that so real? It's because each and every one of us, just like Andrew, we came to a place where we said, everything else I tried is not working. I need you to tell me something about life that's working. In the words of God, they work. Can I get a witness? Number three. Followers of Jesus find and they tell others about Jesus. This is a clear characteristic about followers of Jesus. They find and they tell others about Jesus. Those two words, they find and they tell others about Jesus. Verse 40 and 41. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two, one of those two disciples, who heard what John had said and who had what? Followed Jesus. John, he was following John, but he said, John, I'm sorry, I can't follow you no more. John, I think you're a good person, but I can't follow you anymore. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon, that's Simon Peter, the one they wrote 156 times about, and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. For time's sake, I'd love to work on both of these two words, but I'm only gonna work on one. And that is, I think the telling part, you already know your responsibility there. The problem is we don't know our responsibility of finding people. Can I get a witness? We believe that God will send us somebody and we can talk to them. And we can tell them, even if we don't know anything more than our testimony, we can tell them where we've been, what Jesus did to me, and what Jesus is doing to me right now. And that's good. But Jesus says that he found his brother. In other words, it was intentional. He went out looking for Simon Peter. Am I making sense to you? Chris, you know, one of the greatest things, and I always come back to this, is that some years ago, with your children, we marched all over this whole community. And we had these brochures with the church's information on it that said when we meet, what activities are going on at the church, and how they can come and get involved. And so we intentionally went to every house. I don't know how many houses out here. 1,000 maybe? I don't know. Or at least that many that many people. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, at some point, you're going to get intentional about finding people. You're going to get intentional about locating people that don't know who Jesus is. Hey, if I told you I had $100 bills in my pocket, as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, I got 10. I really don't have $10 bills, but I'll just say I said that. And I'm going to give them away to the first people who give me $5. How many of you would give me your $5 for the $100? Chris raised his hand in the back there. Everybody would. If you don't know, I got $100 bills for $5. Then you're not going to know that you can turn your $5 in that's way worth less than what I have for something that's worth so much more. I'm saying to you, there are people all around us that don't know the worth of Jesus. Why? Because we don't go and tell them. If there is a deficiency at Living Hope, and I'm a part of that deficiency because I can't walk like I used to. But somehow or another, we're going to have to get out of these pews, and that has to become our church. That has to be seen as our church. That has to be seen as our field. And we refuse to stop working it, even if they tell us I don't want to hear. We refuse to sit down on pews and see people go to hell. At some point, if we are followers of Jesus, on our calendars, there has to be some time and someday when we get up together and we go and tell people about Jesus Christ. Am I wrong or right? Yeah. We can come to church all we want to, but I got news for you. You can't go to church. You can be the church, but you can't go to church. And being the church means that we find those that don't know Jesus. And we tell them. Andrew can't make it any plainer for him. He went and he found his brother. And he told him, we have found the Messiah. Last one. Followers of Jesus bring others to Jesus. John 1:42. And he brought him to Jesus. So he finds him, he tells him, and then he brings him. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. How do we bring people to Jesus today? Because if he were here, I'd stop preaching and say, let's go over there to that guy. Because he's the guy. When Jesus is not in the physical form, as he's not in the physical form today here, how do we bring people to Jesus? You have Jesus living inside of you. And when you speak the words of God, when you speak the word of life to people, God can use you. This is why I give an invitation every Sunday. Not because I think I'm such a great preacher, and not because I think that, you know, I've got some, the big head that I can bring people in like Billy Graham or whatever. No, no, nothing like that. But I do believe that God can even take an old preacher like me, somebody who doesn't have it all together anymore and can use the words of God. I believe that. I believe that if I just know enough, Romans 3:23, for God says that everybody has sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, if you stay in that sin, the wages, your payment is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8, for God demonstrates his love for us that yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then Romans 10:13, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that means you believe that Jesus is God, you will be saved. How many of you believe that you can bring somebody to Jesus? You see, that kind of belief, you know, we talk about the authority of the priesthood. Pastor Esther, when we talk about the priesthood authority, you and I have the authority today to speak in the place of Jesus. That's right. He gave it to each and every one of us when he said, go. Matter of fact, he didn't say, I believe, just go. But I got a feeling he said, get out of here. You've been around me all of this time. You've been sitting on pews all these years. It's time to get up and go. Go ye into all of the world and make disciples. In other words, bring them into the family. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Andrew was no Peter. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he was no Peter at all. But whenever you see Andrew's name, which is just a few times, he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. In John 6:8-9, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. They were at a place Jesus was preaching, and somebody said, you know, these folks are getting hungry. What are we going to do? And Andrew speaks up. Here's a boy. There's a boy here, and he's got a little sandwich, 5 pieces of bread and 2 little fish. And I don't know how far they'll go, but Jesus, maybe you could use it. I don't know about you, but that touches me every time. Because sometimes we miss people because they don't look like much or they're so young. But not Andrew. Andrew saw the possibility in any and everybody. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. I don't know how far they'll go, but Jesus, you know. Learning to be a follower of Jesus. I was preaching, getting ready to preach a revival in St. Thomas, the Virgin Islands, a number of years ago. Cheryl will tell you, it was during COVID, and I didn't believe that they were going to be holding a meeting during COVID, but these folks were. And they actually picked us up in a limousine. You remember that, Sugar? They picked us up in a limousine. Now, I don't think I ever rode in a limousine before. And it was a kind of an older fella picked us up. And he came back to the hotel with us. Cheryl was tired, so she couldn't go to the meeting that night. And I went, and I sat back there. I was the only one in the limousine. And I was wanting everybody to see. You know, when you're in a limousine, you want everybody to see you. Waving at folk that couldn't even see me. You weren't there in the car, but I asked him. I said, how long you been driving this limousine? He said, oh, I've been driving this limousine for, it was my career. I've always been a driver. I said, oh, that's great. I said, well, do you do anything at the church? He says, I'm an assistant pastor. I said, you're an assistant pastor? How long you been an assistant pastor? He said, I've been an assistant pastor for 60 years. I said, 60 years. I said, and I knew the pastor, and the pastor wasn't that old. I said, how many pastors were you an assistant to? I was an assistant to 4 pastors. 60 years. And I asked him, you never wanted to be the senior pastor? And he looked at me and he said, oh no. All I ever wanted to do was just help. All I ever wanted to do was just assist. I never wanted to be the big honcho. I just wanted to help somebody. And it made me think, you know what, Lord, if there's anything about me that people would think I'm so much, if there's anything about me that people would see and say, oh, that's what I want to be like, I pray, Lord, that you would break it down and make me nothing. Because I know that my strength comes because of my weakness in you. Come on and do this with me, y'all. Like we're pointing to Jesus. Come on. Come on. Just do that. We're pointing to Jesus. Now keep it there for just one moment. Learning to be a follower of Jesus. Number one, followers of Jesus are known for following Jesus. They'll know us by our what? By our love. No, don't stop. I know your arm's tired. Keep it up just for a minute. Number two, followers of Jesus spend daily time with Jesus. How many could put in a little bit of work here? I didn't ask you if you go to church. I asked if you spend time with Jesus. I know you love the church. I know you love one another. But how many of you love Jesus? Followers of Jesus find and they tell others about Jesus. Is your arm getting tired? That's all right, because you see, that's who you're pointing to. Number four, followers of Jesus, they bring others to Jesus. What are you going to do about it? Are you a follower? Are you a follower? Are you a follower? Learning to be a follower of Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Let me get our music team up. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. Can I get a couple of our counselors up here? I believe somebody's going to make a decision today to follow Jesus. I believe somebody's going to make a decision today that I want to be a part of a church that's not following the pastor, that is not following other people in the church, but they clearly know who we're supposed to be following. And that's Jesus Christ. Won't you come? Won't you come?